This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring, and we have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully we're going to have a very significant guest a little later this evening. We're just trying to get him on the line for now, but I want to just share with you something that is really amazing. You know, it is truly remarkable that I'm talking to you this evening. And you might ask, well, why would that be? Well, it's because of what happened last weekend. Well, what happened last weekend? Well, you probably didn't read about this in the newspaper, but those of you who listen to our programs regularly know that we've been very concerned about the threat of an EMP attack, an electromagnetic pulse attack. Gamma rays being shot at our country, and certainly there are two ways to have an EMP attack. One is certainly to explode a nuclear device about 300 miles above our country. Probably, if you put it off over Omaha, Nebraska, it would simply wipe out the electronic grid. And certainly what would happen is certainly within probably 6 months to a year, somewhere between 200 million and 250 million Americans would be dead. Those are the figures that have been put out by the people who studied the EMP threat, and you can get their information. We have a 4-tape set on this. We have a DVD on this. We have the book, A Nation Forsaken. We have the Congressional Commission report published in 2004. They're all available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. This is not simply a theoretical thought. This is a very real threat. But there's another way you can have certainly the same effect, and that is certainly with solar flares. And basically, the sun goes through cycles. At the last major episode like this, where we had X level of solar flares, was in 1859. It simply wiped out the whole telegraph grid all across America. And basically, the sun goes through cycles, and about every 11 years, it reaches a climax. And it's reaching a climax right now. The rest of this year will be at the end of the 11-year cycle. If we get through this, we have nothing to worry about. But what you are not being told is what happened on Sunday and Monday of this week. And then it was during this period of time that we had not one massive X-level solar flare, not two. We had three massive solar flares, anyone which could very well have knocked out our whole electronic grid, but they were on the backside of the sun. And basically, I want you to go up on the internet. You can check out exactly what I'm telling you, because you'll never read this in the newspaper, because for some reason, they don't want you to know that there's this threat. But basically, you grade solar flares A, B, C, D, M and X, and those are the various ratings, X being the most dangerous, and ordinarily you'd never see an X rated solar flare, and yet, on Sunday and Monday, just 2 days ago, there were three X level solar flares on the backside of the moon. They blasted the whole of the solar system, but away from the Earth. Had those been on the other side of the sun, why, chances are, I wouldn't be able to be talking to you tonight. Now, you would think that this was really a problem, that you would have read about it, you would have heard about it. Certainly, there'd been some mention on television or radio, wouldn't you? But fortunately, you don't have to believe a word I say. Go up on the internet, just type in Sunday, Monday, solar flares. Sunday, Monday, solar flares. Check it out. See if what I'm telling you is true. And if it is, ladies and gentlemen, you'd better start making your preparations, because who knows? We've got another 6 months, and if this had happened, the whole grid would go down, the financial system would collapse.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is David Healy, and he's written a book on the pharmaceutical industry and certainly the pharmaceuticals that you get, the drugs that you get from your doctor. The book is called Pharmageddon, and David is beginning to tell us a little bit of the background of his thoughts and his concern about certainly the medications that we are being given on a regular basis. So please go right ahead with the background.
Yes. The background is that during the 1950s and 1960s, the pharmaceutical industry brought a huge number of...
We don't have a very good... are you on a regular phone? We don't have a very good connection.
I am on a regular line.
Okay, fine. We'll go right ahead then.
Okay, they brought some wonderful treatments on stream to help save lives in a way that previous drugs have done. But the treatments we had during the 1950s and 1960s often were ones that we took for a course of treatment. We were only being treated for one illness at any point in time, and treated until that illness cleared up.
I'm going to have my producer call you back again because we have to have a good line. I want the people to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask if you just hang up. I'll have him call you right back, and hopefully we'll get better transmission. So because
okay.
I think it's so important, I think this issue is important, I'm going to hang up, and hopefully Herman will call you right back.
Perfect.
Okay, Herman, would you try to get David on again? And if it's not a good connection, we'll do it by cell phone. I'm not happy about that, but let's just see if we can get a better connection. But basically, ladies and gentlemen, we are all certainly victims of a system, a medical system, over which none of us have any control. Initially, medicine, when I went into it, was a noble profession. And I think most doctors are motivated, altruistic in what they're doing. But people don't understand that the leaders of organized medicine, working in hand and glove with the leaders of certainly of the pharmaceutical industry and the big drug companies are doing things which I think are, in often instances, hazardous to our health. I mean, how many people are taking statin drugs basically to get the cholesterol down? Whereas the cholesterol is not what produces heart attacks and hardening of the arteries. And this is a multi-billion dollar scam that is being put over on the public. And many people will have serious consequences from taking statin drugs. One of them, of course, is that it markedly lowers your CoQ10. And if you're not taking that, of course, it's the supplement on the statin drugs. Well, you can get into all sorts of problems. And then you can get your cholesterol down too low, and you get all sorts of complications from that. In fact, a high level of cholesterol is absolutely essential for your brain to work, for your sexual organs to work, and you need cholesterol. And yet, of course, everything's being done to lower it. The problem with produces heart disease is inflammation, and is not high cholesterol. And yet, of course, there are literally tens of millions of people in America taking statin drugs today, totally unnecessarily, because of course their cholesterol level is up. But you treat the patients, not the blood test. Well, let's just see if we have a better connection. Go right ahead, Mr. Healy.
Hi, it's good to be back.
That's much better. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Just to pick up on the point that you were making as I tuned in, that during the 1950s and the 1960s, medicine was all about trying to treat the patient rather than the blood test. But what it's become increasingly has been treating risk factors, including blood tests, rather than treating the person. In, say, the 1950s and the 1960s, people were being treated often for just one illness at a time, with drugs which worked extremely effectively to clear that illness up. Now they're likely to find, on the basis of screening tests of one sort or the other, it may be bone screening tests, or lung screening tests, or blood screening tests, that they've got risk factors of various sorts. And these have been treated the way illnesses were once being treated during the 1950s and the 1960s, with the result that people are being put on several different drugs all at the same time and being kept on these drugs for as long as the risk factor lasts, which will often be for the rest of your life. So we have the kind of situation now which we didn't ever have 20, 30, 40 years ago, which is that we've got lots of people, particularly over the age of 50, who are on multiple different meds and are on them virtually permanently.
And I certainly share your concern. I mean, lots of people will be taking 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes 10 different medications. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. And one of the big issues here is that once you get beyond taking 5 pills at a go, the risk that some interaction between the pills you're on is going to cause problems in its own right becomes exponentially increased. And one of the consequences of this is that adverse events are now the fourth leading cause of death. And more generally, one of the biggest factors that's leading people being hospitalized these days is adverse events from the treatments that there are. So we're wasting a huge amount of money and costing a great number of lives because of the treatment approaches that we actually take at the moment. One of the reasons we have the approaches we have is that this approach towards, that for most of the illnesses that you can be treated for these days, people have guidelines. We've got guidelines for hypertension and guidelines for diabetes and guidelines for osteoporosis. And according to you or I, who, if we're being treated for any of these conditions, may be treated perfectly well according to the guidelines for that particular condition. But the problem is, what we don't have is guidelines for treating people. And one of the first things that a guideline for treating people would say is that you shouldn't pay too much heed to the guidelines for treating particular illnesses. That, for instance, if you've got a few different conditions, even though you've been treated perfectly for each of those, if you end up on multiple meds, that this isn't a good thing for you. So if you're treating the person first rather than their illnesses, you may not be, you have to have clinical judgment as to when to pay heed to guidelines and when not.
And, of course, I think there's also a tendency, for instance, with hypertension. Basically, I'll never forget, I was 70 years old. I went to see my physician, a personal friend of mine, cardiologist, and he told me my blood pressure was 100, and I think it was 160 over 80. And so I had to go on antihypertensive drugs. And I said, well, I don't think that, certainly I've never considered 160 for somebody my age out of bounds. Oh, well, everything's changed, you know. Now we want to get you down to 120 degrees. Pardon me, 120 over 80. That's where you should be. And when I actually read the package insert, I don't think my doctor had ever read the package insert, but certainly all the complications you could have from taking that medication, and then, of course, the realization, if you looked at it, you had about a 1% improvement over 5 years if you took the medicine, or if you didn't take it. In other words, you're 1% less likely to die. With all these other complications, and, of course, a few years later, I had my aortic valve replaced, my blood pressure went down to normal. Had I taken that blood pressure and dropped my blood pressure, I would have had a stroke. And the doctor meant well. He just didn't put the whole thing together. And he was doing what the people who manufacture the drugs want. They want to get you on drugs. And basically, we used to acknowledge that older people needed a higher blood pressure. But that's no longer acknowledged today because somebody wrote an article. I suspect they were well paid for writing it. And we're talking about another multi-billion-dollar industry that does far more harm than good. And that's a lot of the antihypertensive medication. But go ahead.
No, and I'm sure you're right. We can extend this to the use of the cholesterol-lowering group of drugs. The guidelines there are based on the cholesterol levels that people might have in their mid-20s, whereas in actual fact, just as you say, for blood pressure, having slightly higher cholesterol levels than that is perfectly normal for people who are a bit older and probably actually helpful. In just the same way, we've got guidelines for treatment of osteoporosis. And because women over the age of 50 have some thinning of their bones, it's thought that this isn't a good thing. And we need to restore bone thickness to the kind of thickness that that these particular women had before the age of 50, when in fact, children, for instance, have much thinner bones than them, and they don't get bone fractures and things like that. They don't get bone fractures even though they've got thin bones because they keep fit. And the single biggest or most useful thing that we could do for women over the age of 50 is not get them worried that they're going to have bone fractures if they don't have a pill for osteoporosis, but in actual fact to encourage them to get fit.
In other words, you go ahead and exercise. And if you exercise, this will actually, of course, put the minerals back in your bones. You're absolutely right. Go right ahead.
Yes. And one of the big areas here as well, where all of this actually applies, and where we seem to have lost any common sense at all, is in the field of treating people who are depressed and anxious. In this case, one of the tricks that the pharmaceutical industry has come up with is the use of rating scales. One key point I think for listeners to realize is this, that many, many years ago, the pharmaceutical industry learned that one of the ways to sell drugs is which is screening tests of one sort or the other, whether bone scans or rating scales for your mood or rating scales for your nerves. But if they can produce a measurement of one sort or the other, that they can often create a problem that a pill will become the answer for. Now, we see I think perhaps the place where this becomes most obviously wrong is in the field of, is in the area of childhood, where children measured on rating scales will often be abnormal to a degree, or they'll be different from their peers. But that's the way childhood is. That it was a period of time when...
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, please. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Healy, his book, Farmageddon, and we're simply talking about how Sydney drugs get on the market. And, of course, basically, is there independent investigations of drugs done? No, absolutely not. The drug companies pays doctors to go ahead and do studies. And if the study shows that the product works, why, of course, the article is published. If the study shows that the product doesn't work, it doesn't get published, and they don't tell the Federal Drug Administration that product doesn't work. And suddenly David was simply just using the example of Paxil. And certainly the people who actually produced Paxil, which was a psychotropic drug, knew that it didn't work. They had the studies that showed it didn't work. And yet, of course, this ended up being an extremely, certainly profitable drug. Would you like to tell the rest of the story of Paxil? Go right ahead. Now, don't be afraid to repeat yourself because they may not have heard what your initial remarks. So let's talk about the background of Paxil.
Okay. Well, in this case, what the company had done was a clinical trial in children who were depressed. Now, the internal company documents showed that the company view was that this trial had shown that the drug didn't work. But the published ghostwritten article that came out claimed that the drug worked extremely well. Now, when the unpublished internal company documents came out, New York State took a fraud action against GlaxoSmithKline because New York State had handed over a huge amount of money on the basis of the published article paying for this drug to be given to children who were depressed, when in fact there was now every reason to believe that the drug didn't work all that well. This led to a crisis, and FDA asked at the pharmaceutical companies for all of the clinical trials they had that had been done on these drugs given to children. And when they did so, we found out that of all the trials that were done, all the published ones claimed that the drug worked well. And in actual fact, in FDA's view, almost all bar one of these trials showed that the drug didn't work. And the other thing that came to light was that of the published articles, 100% of the published articles in this area were ghostwritten. That is, they weren't actually written by the academic authors they appeared to be written by. They were written by ghostwriters working for the pharmaceutical company. And these ghostwriters can be tremendously skillful, have been able to polish the results so that the drug looks good.
And of course, this is really tragic, but in a situation where we have today, where there is no right, there is no wrong, basically, the fellow who ends up with all the money is the fellow who wins. And so they put out fraudulent studies. And did anybody go to prison over this? After all, it's like stealing from government agencies and paying for this. Did anybody ever go to prison for falsifying the information? I dare say they didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. A few years later, just at the end of last year, GlaxoSmithKline were actually fined $3 billion. But as you say, no one actually went to prison. And whatever about a fine, you have to feel that if senior people in the company maybe face the prospect of ending up in prison, that things may have turned out differently.
But of course, then we're talking about profits of $10, $20, $30 billion on a lot of these drugs, and they simply falsify them. But when you're in a society with no moral foundation, why should we be surprised? And this is why, really, before you take anything at all, you really have to read the drug insert, and that may very well be falsified as well. We're living in difficult times. If you're out there in the listening audience, have a question or comment for our guest, his name is David Healy. His book is Pharmageddon, and going into the background of the pharmaceutical industry and a takeoff on Armageddon, because this is where we are today. What medicines can you trust? Well, I trust the medicines that have been around for 50 years. At least we know when they work and when they don't, and even some of those we have to constantly be evaluating. But certainly the patient out there is a victim because he doesn't know. He believes in his doctor, and I'm sure most of the doctors who prescribe Paxil really believed it. They've read the glowing, doctored, phony reports written many times by people who were not doctors, who were actually ghostwriters for the pharmaceutical industry, with certainly using false credentials. This is what we're up against today. Wouldn't you agree with that, David? Certainly there's no way you can have an effective healthcare system based upon a faulty literature, faulty science.
That's correct. I would agree with that completely.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, Don't be bashful. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is David Healy.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Again, talking about certainly the very real problems in the medications that we take. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And as certainly David is talking about his effort to help people, he, as he was pointing out, certainly back in the 1960s, there was much more of a cooperation between doctors and patients. Well, 1960 was the year that I opened my medical practice, and believe me, it was a whole different world then than it is today. In fact, it was a whole different world then than when I left medicine back in about 1995. But basically, of course, David has a website that has well over 4 million, adverse reports, the reports that are given to the government on the various medications, which most people will never read. But basically, if you go to his website, risk.org, is that right? Is that the right, risk.org?
Yes, it's
R-X, I-S-K. Please give the website again.
Okay, it's www.rxisk.org. But we pronounce it as risk.org.
RxRisk.org. Rx like prescription, risk.org. And basically, you'll go there, you can actually find all of the complications that have come from the medication that you've been offered. And the doctors don't have time to read this. The pharmacists don't have time to read this. But it's your body. You're going to be taking these medications. And these are actually reports that have been sent in by patients to the government after adverse effects. Is this what you're basically recording there?
Yes, it is. But what we're hoping to do as well is get people not just to use the reports that are there, but also to report themselves and to try and engage the doctor that they go and see in trying to make sure that if there are things going wrong on pills, that they get the earliest possible intervention to put things right, which may mean either stopping the pill or reducing the dose or adding in an antidote or whatever.
And of course, this obvious thing would be statin drugs. If you're going to take them anyway, you certainly would want to take CoQ10 along with that. And yet, of course, there's not one probably in 10 doctors that would prescribe that for you. And yet, of course, you're taking certainly statin to protect your heart. And of course, what the statin drugs do is lower your CoQ10, which means your heart won't function, right? You get congestive heart failure or all sorts of complications. But this same sort of thing is true with so many medications. There are complications from taking the drugs. They have physiological response on your body, and certainly and then the interaction with the other medications you're taking can lead to disaster. In fact, as a physician, I will tell you the only two drugs I take now are thyroid and that's it. I take digitalis as well, but those two old-time medications, and I avoid all the rest of them, and you're better off to avoid the medications if you can. Now, sometimes medication can be life-saving, but you have to know all the complications, and you've got to be involved as a patient out there rather than simply following blindly along. I think this is a wonderful idea. Have you put up this website? Are you affiliated with a group that's put up the website?
This is the thing that I've done with a few medical colleagues and with a few other close friends who have been people who, for instance, lost loved ones linked to an adverse event on drugs. So it's a very close-knit group of people whom I know who are involved in putting this up. It's not linked to any formal group as.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Now, do you have a medical background? Are you trained in medicine?
I do. I'm a practicing doctor, and I have been for the last 35 years or more.
Well, that's wonderful. Whereabouts you practice?
I'm based in the UK at the moment.
I see.
But I've been over in the States frequently and visit regularly.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think medicine is a noble profession. I certainly enjoyed every minute that I practiced. I graduated in 1952, entered practice in 60, maintained my medical practice till about 1994, somewhere there. And then I, of course, went into retirement. But, of course, we've been affiliated with ever since then. And basically, we need doctors, and I think most doctors are trying to do the right thing, but they just don't have time to read all of the complications. And unfortunately, why so much of what they know and hear is derived either from the drug companies, drug company representatives, publications, journals put out by the drug companies, meetings financed by the drug companies, and certainly from the Federal Drug Administration. Largely, and most people don't understand them, but here in the United States, why? Because drug companies help to finance the Federal Drug Administration. They pay them fees for going over their papers and things of that sort. And so the FDA is actually getting money from the drug companies. And can they act independently? And the answer, in my estimation, is absolutely not. I think we have some of the finest officials, government officials, that money could buy, and if not directly, indirectly, working for our government today. We need people to be involved. What sort of response are you getting to your effort?
Well, today the response has been extremely favorable. Lots of patients have reported into us. And in fact, the only group of people who get more reports from patients on adverse events on drugs than us at the moment are FDA. Other regulated elsewhere, for instance, over in the UK, we have far more reports coming in from patients than they have over in than in the United Kingdom. Partly because we draw reports from worldwide. The country that reports, where people actually report most frequently to us is from the United States. But we draw reports globally.
Well, basically, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 1-464-8295, that's 831-464-8295, but out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. How can people get copies of your book?
The book is from the University of California Press, and it came out last year. So it came out this year in paperback. It can be got on Amazon.com. It can be got in Kindle form, and it can be got in bookshops. The book lays out the background to the problems that the website tries to solve. The background is, as you've outlined so well, the fact that FDA aren't actually keeping it safe in the way that people think they are, that they've let the kind of situation develop as potentially harmful, that very few doctors properly know what the adverse effects of drugs are. And what we're trying to do with risk.org is to get the culture back to the way things were during the 1960s when you entered practice first, where doctors looked at patients an awful lot more closely than they do now. They listen to them in ways that they don't listen to them now. And if things seemed going wrong on a pill, the doctor would often do the obvious thing, which was to hold the pill and see what happened. Whereas that's not what happens now. Often doctors will consult what they believe to be the evidence, and finding no indication that the pill could have caused a problem will all but force the patient to continue taking it when this may be just the wrong thing to do.
Yes, the only way you're really going to know is just to quit taking the medication, see what happens. And certainly, probably most people are not going to die because they without the medication for a short period of time. But they certainly could die if they continue taking a medication they're reacting to, or that is interreacting with the other medications they're taking. And I think that's one of the big problems, is that many times the medicine you're taking is interacting with another medicine you're taking. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. The pills that we're on have increasingly become the problem that we're taking further pills to treat.
So basically, what sort of response are you getting from patients? Are patients really aware of what you're saying? Are patients really going to your website? What are you getting in increasing traffic on your Rx or risk website.org?
Yes, we are. Things are picking up the whole time. The response from patients has been extremely favorable. The response from doctors has also been pretty favorable to date. But we haven't really had any adverse responses from anyone. For instance, even at pharmaceutical companies, no one has come out and told us that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. Because I think, in a sense, it's fairly obvious that this is the kind of thing that does need doing.
And I certainly concur with you. And ladies and gentlemen, well, I think people have to realize that they are responsible for their health. And certainly the doctor isn't responsible for your health. He'll do what he thinks. But then certainly doctors have sort of a routine method of approaching things. And when some things aren't going right, they don't want to admit that they're. And certainly I know as a physician myself, I wouldn't want to admit that anything I was doing for a patient, a medication, a treatment, was deleterious. And yet sometimes you have to be objective and take a step back and look at it. And if the patient's not doing well, you have to figure out why. So basically, of course, so what is the message you would like to leave with our listeners this evening?
I think the key message is very closely related to the point that you've just made, that people who are on pills, it's their body. And they have an absolute right to know what it is that the pills may be doing to them. And if the doctor doesn't seem to be listening that they, you know, we really do need to get back to the kind of situations where people who are informed, that patients were informed, patients were motivated to take care of their own health, really do cooperate as a group and insist that doctors and FDA and the pharmaceutical companies listen to their experience as to what is actually happening on these pills. This isn't just in order to keep the patient safe, but actually, curiously enough, one of the best ways to discover new pills is for people to be encouraged to pay close heed to the adverse events that may be happening on drugs, because an adverse event in one context can often be the discovery of a new drug in a different context.
And I think it's very, very hard for the average patient to just to say, I'm not going to take the medication. But I think I know from my own experience, my refusal to take my high blood pressure medication when they want to give it to me probably saved my life, because, of course, once I had my aortic stenosis, which, of course, is a contraction of the aortic valve in the heart, I had that replaced. Suddenly, the high blood pressure that I'd had going back to my 1920s, when I was certainly about 20 years old, certainly the high blood pressure I'd had going from the point I was 20 years old to the point I was about 75, it just disappeared. Actually, of course, the heart had to pump that high blood pressure to simply be able to provide blood for my brain, blood for the other organs. Had I knocked that down, I could have been in real problem. And we could have knocked it down very effectively for by taking the medication. I know one of my very good friend's wives, he was an obstetrician I practiced with for 30 or 40 years, and his wife took high blood pressure medication, got up in a chair, got dizzy, fell, broke her neck, and it killed her. And these sort of things do happen. I think that people have to accept responsibility for their own health, work with your doctor, but use your own sense and ideas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead. Do you have any other thoughts, anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, the key thing is that medicines can be hugely helpful, but not every medicine is the right one for you. And if you think that medicines aren't suiting, one of the ways you can actually find out is go into risk.org and check and see whether the pill you're on has been reported to cause the problem that you think you may be having. You may find out that in actual fact, hundreds of people have reported this into FDA before you. And one of the things we're hoping is that if people become aware that a lot of other patients and doctors have reported this to FDA, that they'll be more confident in raising the issue with their own doctor or maybe pharmacist, and that he will then be also more likely to listen. If you're able to go into the doctor and say, look, doctor, I'm having this particular problem on my pill, and do you know, I've been into risk.org and I've found that hundreds of other people have reported the same problem. This may make it easier for the doctor as well to take on board that actually this pill may well be causing a problem.
And I think that most people really don't understand that the doctors really don't have time to do research on individual medication. They almost are in a position where they have to take what they're told by the drug representatives and by the drug companies, or what they said they will read in their medical journal. And they're not really in a position to question what they read. They tend to believe what they read. After all, it's there. And yet, of course, that article may very well have been written by a ghostwriter who's paid very well just to lie about it. And that's really what's so disturbing about what's going on. The world we're living in today is not the world where I started my medical practice some 53, 54 years ago. All right, fine. Well, I really appreciate what you're doing, Dr. Healy. I think that it's vitally important. And I'm going to certainly, if you have a parting thought for our listeners, we'd love to have you have that. Otherwise, we'll let you go.
Okay, well, just to come back and repeat the point that you made, that people need to realize it's their body, that they have a responsibility for it, that they shouldn't be just blindly looking to the doctor to do things. We need to take these things into our own hands and try and ensure we have the kind of situation where we're working as a team with the doctor who's put us on the bill, rather than just blindly listening to what you said.
I agree with you totally. Well, God bless you. Thank you for everything you're doing, and we'll appreciate so much the fact that you've taken it upon yourself to get this information up on the Internet. Fortunately, that we have the Internet, we can get information we could never get before, and I think it's so vitally important that people take advantage of the facilities that are there, and I appreciate your directing us towards risk.org.
Dr. Stan, thank you very much for having me.
Good night. God bless.
Okay. Good night. Bye.
Again, our guest this evening has been David Healy, Dr. David Healy. His book, Farmageddon, and you can get this on the Amazon. And certainly, you really need to start thinking about what he said. I really think it's very, very important. So basically, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes to wrap up the first hour here at Radio Liberty. But you're going to have to start taking responsibility for your own health. Remember, your doctor is not responsible. He's doing the best that he can, but he's trapped in a system, just like I was trapped in a system. And basically, why you're going to have to look after your own health.
Don't be late.
No.
White with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son. Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Hang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I wanted you to hear Dr. David Healy. I think his message is important, and I think that you need to actually start thinking about your responsibility to look after your own health. And basically, I'd suggest his website. It's rxrisk.org, and you'll find certainly the list of all of these complications submitted by people, over 4 million of them, for various medications. You need to know what's up to other people who've taken these medications. And you're going to have to understand that your doctor certainly is being lied to by the pharmaceutical company. Most of our pharmaceutical companies are in this for the money, and they're doing, in many instances, far more harm than they are good. Well, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners out there that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, and you can certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, get our 4 best tapes of the month or CDs of the month, get our monthly newsletter, or you can certainly subscribe to the newsletter, or you can certainly get the books and DVDs and discs and CDs that we have, or you can certainly donate. You might even have a product you'd like to advertise with us. Whatever you could do would help us to raise the large sums of money it takes to buy time on radio stations all across America. And as you know, of course, I do 5 hours of talk radio a day. It's an expensive proposition, but so far we've been able to manage this. And I do hope, if you're in a position to help, that you'll join us in this epic struggle to educate people and hopefully draw them closer to the Lord, because this is a spiritual battle. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, that you'll pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, let me just simply point out, we have an awful lot of products that you should be reading. You need to read our books on the Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a wonderful book on Psalm 83 by Bill Sellers, talking about what I believe is the next war that's going to take place over there in the Near East. We have certainly the DVDs on the threat of an EMP attack. We have a DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. We have a book entitled A Nation Forsaken, written by a 30-year veteran of the Department of Defense, Michael Maloof, who, when he resigned, certainly was reporting directly to the Undersecretary of Defense. And basically, it just tells about the very real danger of an electromagnetic attack. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. As I opened the program by saying, it was his last weekend, that there were not one, not two, but 3 class X, that's the highest solar flare you could possibly get. One of those would have simply knocked out our electronic grid here in the United States. There were 3 of them. Fortunately, they were on the back of the sun. Had they been on this side, why, I might not be talking to you this evening. This is not imaginary. You need to understand the threat of the RSISK. Oh, I see. It's RSISK. That is the website, rxisk.org. Under any circumstances, certainly, you need to understand the very real threat of an EMP attack and make your plans accordingly. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting our DVDs on the Common Core. This is a curriculum that's being introduced all throughout the world. We have certainly the Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone, pointing out certainly the prophetic nature of what's going on today. Pastor Crone, regular participant on our programs, and of course there are 5 DVDs, and each one of these, the Final Countdown, part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, each with 5 DVDs. Hopefully we'll have the others available very, very shortly, part 6, that'll end it. But you will actually, as you listen to these programs, you'll see how the prophetic events are actually taking place today. This is not imaginary. This is really very, very real. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
man beside her, man guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mouth.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And apparently the website for the program we just did is RXIST. That's RXIST, which is why they call it RIST.org. RXIST.org, and it's a great idea where you can actually go and you can find out all of the complications that come from the medicines that you're taking, and you need to be responsible for your health. I think that this, our previous hour's guest, is absolutely right. He's a physician who's concerned about people. And so go to their website, RXIST.org, and if you're taking medication, understand the potential complications. Well, right now, of course, for this hour, we're going to have our good friend Bob Fletcher with us. And Bob certainly has been involved in this battle for, the better part of well over 30 years. And he has really started out, just like most people, having no idea there was a problem in the world. He was running a toy company. And suddenly they were doing well, but somebody came to him with a great idea. Why don't you simply let me come in as a partner, and I'll become your partner. We'll put up a lot of money. We can expand your business tremendously. And Bob foolishly took the man up, not knowing he was a CIA asset, and his company was going to be used to smuggle guns to the Contras. And that's a long time ago, but of course that's changed Bob's entire outlook on the world. He ended up losing the toy company and a great deal more. But since that time, he's been actively engaged in trying to educate people, doing a lot of wonderful studies. He has a lot of wonderful DVDs. We think they're vitally important to give you an insight into what's going on. He has about 8 of them, and you can get them from him. You can get them from us. But certainly Bob is certainly one of our favorite guests. Bob Fletcher, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Stan.
Now, what are we going to be talking about?
Of course, we got to touch base, I guess, a little bit on the news, that at least what they're feeding us, so to speak, as news, and all the crazy things going on. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. I wanted to at least, again, just sort of talk a little bit about a few things that people are maybe not up to speed on, some of the other activities that are going on, that the very reason that they do their news on a regular basis, what they call news on a regular basis, I think is to sort of divert our attention away from a whole multitude of interesting, sneaky little things that are going on out of Washington or because of Washington. You put it that way, I guess. But the big deal, of course, is all the conversation about the potential of I have the hiccups a little bit today. The potential of Obama and some of those people being impeached because of some of the secrecy and things and misdirection that was going on and what have us.
You're talking about, of course, as far as the IRS targeting conservative groups, certainly as far as suppressing information on Benghazi, certainly the other illegal activities and immoral activities certainly participated in by key people in his administration.
Right.
And because they're talking a lot about, well, it's sort of like it was in the Nixon days, you know, certainly when Richard Nixon, they were actually targeting liberal organizations, and Nixon knew about it and went right along with it, just as certainly people at the highest echelons of the Obama administration knew that they were targeting conservative groups as far as the IRS and went right along with it. And basically, they fired one man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what about all the other people who carried out illegal orders? Are they to be simply allowed to continue? Certainly, I think that the government is riddled with corruption, and what they need to do is start cleaning house. And any of these not simply allow people to resign, they ought to be put in prison. They ought to be put in prison for criminal activities. It is criminal, in my estimation, to use the power of government to target either people on the left or on the right. And that's exactly what the Obama administration was doing. And Mr. President Obama appears to be incensed about this. If you believe that, you believe anything.
And of course, Obama actually, of course, as far as I'm concerned, is the same position that Nixon was in, and that is it probably calling the punches, or at least having his immediate personnel very close to him, creating the ideas, coming up with the idea of what the IRS ended up doing, and of course, the cover-up in the Benghazi murder. As far as I was concerned, I guess just because I've become such a cynic, but I'm a well-schooled cynic relative to what goes on out of Washington after 30 years of being involved with chasing these characters. As soon as I saw what was actually developing, but as a matter of fact, before the ambassador was killed in, over there, as soon as I saw some of the reports of what was happening, I said to my wife, I said, you know, that guy has caused ripples or waves or some kind of problem, and he's a dead man. They're setting him up to get killed in the embassy there. With all of a sudden being attacked, and even we knew about it here watching just regular news, he was being attacked, but nothing was happening. Nobody was coming to his rescue. And it was completely some kind of a setup. I don't know, back in 20 years ago, I probably could have made a couple of calls and found out ahead of time who he had even irritated. But somehow, he had brushed somebody in the wrong direction, and he was set up for that hit. And he ended up with only like two guards or three guards left standing there with him, when, of course, they took those guys out, too. But I'm afraid he was murdered the same as Sonny Bono was murdered for pursuing investigations that he was doing. There's no question in my mind that this fellow was set up to be assassinated. They don't leave these guys hanging in the air when first off, a week ahead of time, or 2 weeks ahead of time, they had contacted, the embassy had contacted the State Department and had said, hey, we have guys coming around here in vehicles and getting out and doing whatever, but they were taking photographs of the lay of the land of this whole environment right there around the immediate embassy property and checking it out. But the big deal was they were photographing. And they had passed that on to the upper level of the security and said, we need...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bob Fletcher is our guest. Bob was simply talking about Benghazi and basically the fact that weeks before the assassination of the American ambassador and his guards, why? Because they were calling the State Department, asking for additional help, additional support, additional protection. They could see these people coming and taking pictures of their consulate or their embassy, call it what you will, doesn't matter. But basically, they knew they were in danger. The ambassador was worried about his safety and was requesting additional help, and of course it was withheld. And then of course when the attack came, and this was a matter of not just a few minutes, this was a matter of several hours, there were several generals who had wanted to send help, and they were actually relieved of their command when they were going to send help. They were ordered not to send help. They tried to send help. They were relieved of their command. This was a setup. They left the ambassador there to be tortured and sodomized and killed, and the other people are along with him. But And the Obama administration is simply lying about it. They came back. They've actually had these the summaries of all their emails and the discussions on what they were going to tell the people. Why did they tell the people the truth? Well, because they were going to lie to them. They don't want the people to know the truth. We are constantly being fed information that is not true. The government does not represent us. It represents other forces working behind the scenes. They control both political parties and make mockery of the electoral process. There were thousands of voting irregularities last November when Barack Hussein Obama was elected to the presidency. Have you heard all the discussion and the furor over that? And of course you won't. Of course you won't, because of course immediately after the election, they had another scandal. It was the General Petraeus scandal. General Petraeus was the director of the CIA, had been having an affair on the side. So the FBI had been monitoring him. Now, it's not a crime to have an affair on the side, but the FBI monitored, released the information. Why did they do that? It was a distraction. Now, I'm not just excusing General Petraeus. I think that he certainly is subject to criticism, but basically this was used to distract us from the fact that the November election last year was fraudulent, as are so many of our elections in America, because all certainly the voting machines can certainly be adjusted, and all of them, of course, can be fixed. All of them can be rigged. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and that's absolutely the situation. And they're always, they always have in their back pocket two or three, some of them frivolous, but there's always one or two, reasonably major or important problems that they can throw up on the top of the desk whenever they need to divert attention from something else. They can throw something else out for the media and say, oh, look at this. And like you say, with the General Petraeus and his little girlfriend on the side situation, all that. That doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot other than a lack of a moral fiber, but it certainly can occupy the media real quick, because there's nothing that works better for the general public than some kind of a sexual situation or something of that sort.
But they put that forward, Bob, basically as a distraction, because sure, people can't think about too many things at one time. And so they focus our attention on that rather than the fact that it was a fraudulent election, a fraudulent presidential election that gave us another 4 years of Barack Hussein Obama. Go ahead.
You know, I found it, talk about that, the and misdirection and what have you. I found something that was really interesting. I had known about it several years ago, and then I rediscovered it, so to speak, recently working on my new project. And it was a Bill Casey, who formerly was the Ronald Reagan, George Bush CIA director, and of course involved with the corrupted October surprise situation during that election, and won the election fraudulently away from Jimmy Carter back in 1980. But anyhow, that I had come across a quote of Bill Casey just a short time before he was before he came down. He had a stroke the day before he was to testify, which again is one of these untimely deaths that took place. But he said that we will know that our disinformation program is complete when everything the Americans believe is false, which is really, really remarkable. Anyhow, he said that we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And if that doesn't really cover the attitude and the manner by which so many presidents have run their offices over the last 35 years or 40 years, that really summed it up, I think.
And for our listeners out there who doubt that basically we are controlled, our reality is controlled, let me suggest a book which we carry called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bagdikian. Of course, Professor Bagdikian's a left-wing professor, formerly of the University of California, and he thinks that the right-wing controls the media. People on the right think that the left-wing controls the media. They're both wrong. But what they're both correct is that the media is controlled. And of course, Professor Bagdikian points out there are six major corporations that control almost 90-95% of the media and can largely determine what the American people think. So is, of course, as William Casey said, how said, we'll know we've succeeded when almost everything that people know is wrong and most of what people believe today just isn't true. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and why we fortunately do have people listening all over the world who are actually learning the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Go right ahead, Bob.
And you know, when I was watching that report as it related to the embassy assassination, and when I saw that they had reported the people were coming around and photographing the lay of the property around there a little bit early prior to the attack. I had the exact same situation that took place during, I'm going to say it was in 87, during the Iran-Contra inquiries, and I was involved with that and simultaneously two other related investigations, and one of them being a federal witness in the Christic Institute's legal action at the same time, and doing turned into an awful lot of investigations that assisted several of these inquiries. But what happened while I was employed, sort of I would refer to like my day job, because I wasn't making money on my investigations at that time, that's for sure. And I was in my offices. This was in Orlando, Florida at that time. And on a regular daily basis, actually, communication with also Senator Kerry, John Kerry's offices, because he was doing major investigations in his with his people on the drug connections and the illegal arms and all of that. So a fella came in. And he came into where he drove into our parking lot, and he got out, and he was doing videotaping. He was videotaping the side of the entire office complex where I was. I was on the ground floor at that time, and he was videotaping all of that and the entrances and the front entrance, the back and the side and all of that. And I saw him, and somebody else had seen him, who I was working with, and they knew what I was involved with on a regular basis. And there, of course, had been some death threats and what have you. A fella came to me and he said, Bob, what's that guy doing out there with a videotape? You know, and then we, like I say, we realized, two or three of us realized that he was, in fact, doing all this videotaping. So I said, well, I'm going to find out. So I personally myself went right straight on out, walking at a fast clip towards his vehicle. He jumped in his car and disappeared off on up the highway. And he had a driver's license plate tag on the back of the vehicle that came from the Tampa, Florida area, which is the other coast. Well, and I was bothered by it a little bit, but, you know, that's all you could do at that point is be concerned. And sure enough, though, within about 2 weeks, I was in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning early reading my newspaper starting the day. And I had this large double sliding glass door entrance that they have directly to the outside in my office. And this huge station wagon came in slowly and pulled in and made a left turn and lined itself straight up with my office. And I looked up, saw it moving, didn't pay attention seriously. And then within a couple of seconds, with the roar of the engine of this thing, almost picked the front end up off the ground. And this giant station wagon came right through my wall. The driver had put his foot straight to the floor on it, and it leaped and made about a 18-inch catapulting jump over a small curb and came right through the sliding glass doors, directly clearing my doorway and crashing through my wall. And apparently, putting two and two together, the earlier guy that was out there doing the filming apparently was doing the pre-evaluation on what doors to drive through to kill Bob Fletcher. So,
well, I'm glad that he didn't do a good job of it. What happened? Certainly, the police must have come. Did they ever get this fellow to pay for the damage he'd done?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, he ended up doing over $4,700 in damage, claimed it was an accidental situation. And, of course, at that time, nothing could be done in Florida. There was no obvious criminal.
What was thought? Go right ahead, Bob.
I would say there was no obvious criminal allegations. There's not much I could do about it. I asked the police, told them my situation and all, and they said, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, as long as this fellow claimed it to be an accident, there was no good way. Obviously, he couldn't prove intent. But it certainly, knowing what I knew, it was an attempt to take me out. What had happened, fortunately, was that the vehicle had cleared, the front end had leaped up over this curb just by hitting it at such a high speed. But the rear wheels hung up on the curb. And again, this curbing actually was a planter in front of my offices, so that the front end of the vehicle slammed to a rapid stop. Because it was literally stuck, and the front end slammed down about 25 inches in front of my desk. And, of course, I had glass and debris from the sliding glass doors and a wooden fence and a bench he had brought right along with him in the front of, this vehicle. And all of that was blown all over me and the office. And what took place, though, the second step to this thing was when this guy, instead of running now, he didn't take off or anything, but I saw him stepping out of the vehicle, and I thought right away, I put two and two together, and I said, I've got to exit. So I got out the back door that was behind me and exited into a hallway. Well, the fellow got out, came on in, and came right up to me. Now, he should not have known who I was. It was all too quick and fast and to even know that I was the person in there. He came up to me and he grabbed me by my shoulders and he says, are you okay? And he started touching me, and he touched me in the back of my neck, you know, kind of grabbed me back there and kept saying, are you all right? Are you okay? And all of this. And I thought it was very creepy, you know, so I said, you know, back off, you know, get off away from me. And people already called the police. They were on the way, and I told the guy not to go anyplace and all of that. So I had forgotten about that part of it until the following day, about 24 hours later, I was back to work, and I had a heart attack. Now, I was only whatever I would have been at that time, 40-something years old. And I had a heart attack and had to go straight to the hospital, and they did all the tests and the blood and all the rest of that. And they came back to me, and they said, it appears to be some kind of a chemical something in your blood. They said, what do you do for a living? They were assuming that maybe I had gotten sick. They didn't have any idea what I did, who I was or anything. And I said, well, I'm not around anything that, you know, any chemical time. And they said, well, we can't zero in on what this is, but you certainly have a blood malady, a problem. So what had happened apparently is that this guy had secondarily followed up by applying something to me, because it was, an extraordinary amount of uncomfortable physical touching and handling that this guy was doing. And immediately when I finally told him to back off, he said, where's the men's room? I have to wash up. And he went immediately into the men's room, washed up, the police came and they, of course, did their thing. But there's no question in my mind, because later on when I found out...
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back. And this is Dr. Stan. I'm always just talking about this attempt on his life some years ago when he was involved in an investigation. Fellow came out, was videotaping his office, and then shortly after that, some fellow drives a SUV right through the frontal wall, right through the glass door of his office, and suddenly it misses him only by a few inches, 25 inches or so. Bob runs out of the back of the office. The fellow follows him, runs up to him, puts his hand on the back of his neck, and starts claims that he's so sorry what had happened. And Bob told him to back away. The fellow immediately says, "Well, I've got to find a place to wash my hands." He disappears, washes his hands, and a week later, Bob has a heart attack. And the people at the hospital tell him he's got something in his blood that's precipitated the heart attack. Would that be a fair estimate, Bob?
Yes, sir. Actually, it was literally the following day
Fine.
And they did all these tests, and they never could quite figure it out. And, of course, later on, after doing learning so much about all of what was going on, then I realized that they had two or three such chemicals that actually one fella had admitted that they had applied it to the steering wheel of, I can't think of his name, a very major, the major newspaper writer out of Washington, D.C., I can't think of his name right now, someone actually called and warned him not to touch his steering wheel. And, of course, he had called the police. They came out. And lo and behold, he had something spread all over his steering wheel. I believe it was cyanide.
Was it Woodward or Bernstein?
No, as a matter of fact, it was the guy that acted as the go-between during the Cuban crisis between the White House and the Russian embassy. I can't think of his name now. And that's funny because a couple of years later, he had done a whole story on myself, but I can't think of his name. Now, he had a whole big, based out of Washington Post, and had a whole crew of people that worked for him and all the rest of that. Anyhow, neither here nor there, but it was something like a cyanide. People don't realize cyanide is a skin penetrating poison. It can be applied in a lot of ways, but cyanide actually can simply be placed on an item that you may touch or handle, and it penetrates your pores and can either make you extremely ill or kill you. There's a couple other similar skin penetration poisons, et cetera.
Well, of course, we've had a number of people who've been guests on my program who've died under very mysterious circumstances, and we don't know there's any necessary connection at all, but certainly Sergeant Leo Chavez was with us. I was talking about what happened on 911, and to my knowledge, he was never seen after that. Certainly we had a gentleman I don't want to get into all the details, but we've had a number of people, certainly Jim Keith, who had written about Timothy McVeigh being part of a special forces unit, noted in his book that Jennifer McVeigh had said that Tim had told her he was part of a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. That's Tim McVeigh of the Oklahoma City bombing. And of course, Tim Keith had a strange demise shortly thereafter. Of course, people have strange demises. They die. He had a minor surgical procedure and he happened to die right after, the type of procedure I've done many times and never had any complications from it. But then, of course, shortly thereafter that, his publisher died. I mean, we're talking about a couple of months. Well, that was just a coincidence. And then about a month or two after that, his ex-wife dies, certainly Jim Keith's ex-wife. And after about the third time, you say, gee, maybe it's just not accidental. And they really do this sort of thing, don't they, Bob?
They sure do. As a matter of fact, again, around the Iran-Contra inquiries that I was so profusely involved with, and as well as a few other things that were that spun off from that, so to speak, like the Innes Law case and the Mr. Hamilton and the having the Justice Department steal his computer program, the Inslaw program, from him. I was assisting him. And, of course, the Christic Institute, which is a separate thing, but then also all the same people. But there were like 100 and something people involved with the Iran-Contra inquiries that were killed. They were murdered and, you know, all sorts of accidents and what have you, just exactly like the old Kennedy story. You know?
Basically, of course, there's a book called The Missing Witnesses, The Missing Witnesses by Craig Roberts, and that's over 100 people affiliated with the Kennedy assassination who died mysteriously shortly after John Kennedy was killed. He was assassinated, he was murdered. There's a city of mafia hit, of course, been backed by people in key positions in government. The book, again, The Missing Witnesses by Craig Roberts. Nobody ever talks about that.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
Well, and you, I mentioned earlier that I wanted to touch base on just on a couple of random interesting things. Again, working on my latest project, and I've come across some new weapons, let's say, all right, primarily just this evening, as a matter of fact. Also, there was some regular news coverage on a drone that has now been completed, and I had some pictures of this thing like 5 years ago, I think, sent to me. They came from originally came from the Area 51, and it is the equivalent of a stealth bomber in its shape and configuration, except that it would be way too small. It's almost like a small MiG airplane or a small Saber jet, which are the oldest fighting jets, between that size and a large model airplane. And it is a drone run by, and it's stealth, exactly like the B-2 stealth bombers now. They are run with a remote control, watching a screen that can actually be run by an individual with the control mechanisms and a small screen in front of him to show all of the elevation, speed, and what have you, direction, and, of course, actually physically send back a picture. But it is totally a stealth drone, similar to the small drones that they are now been using as weapons and photographing overseas for the last 5-6 years. But this is a stealth bomber shrunk down to that size of the drone to be very small, and totally 100% run by remote control by an individual. So he doesn't even have to be. I guess what I'm trying to say on that point is that he can actually be out in the
field.
Hold
that thought. Hold that thought in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply telling us about this drone. Would you like to tell our listeners who didn't hear your previous remarks about this drone, what's this all about?
And the drone, of course, the drones that they've been using all over the place are pretty stealth anyhow, just because they're very quiet. But these are literally the equivalent of the stealth aircraft, the bombers or the fighters. They look identical. They show up like nothing. It would be the size of a hummingbird in terms of its radar reflection. It would show up such a small identification. You would never know that in fact it was an aircraft if you couldn't see it. Again, now this is just, you know, just another one of the weapons in their arsenal. And they've been working on this thing for about, I think, maybe 8 or 10 years. And like I say, I had seen a picture of it originally about 5 years ago while it was still being worked on. And it's considered to be finished. Of course, you know, usually if they make the regular news with a weapon and they say, oh, this thing's now ready to go, it means they've probably already been using it from 2 to 15 years out in the field covertly. In most cases, that's what I've found out. And the other, one of the newer items now that are finished, so to speak, and ready to go, is of course the some of these extremely small remote controlled spy planes. And down to and including some that literally fly like a bird, no bigger than a robin, with cameras that can transmit sound and picture back quite a distance back, even up to a pickup by a satellite. And these are the size of regular birds, look like a bird, and will fly flapping wings, actually, so that if you saw it go by your window 5 or 6 times on the 7th floor of your office building, you would never think of it other than being a bird flying by. And in fact, it is a remote controlled or pre-programmed, in some cases, a small living type drone robot craft that will take pictures of people and record audio and all of that. Those are finished now as a regular weapon, if you will. And then I guess to top it off, again, only in the last 60 days or so, it's made what I would call the regular news, and that is their newest, right now they've been experimenting off of ships, but they will be able to use them in any configuration, and that is the laser, a laser that literally can track, automatically zero in, let's say, on an airplane flying at 10,000 feet. It'll trail it, track it, and then when it's ready to be shot, when it's activated, it takes about 1.5 seconds, and it will burn right through an aircraft and blow it up. You'll never see it. You cannot see the laser beam at all. You don't see it. And it will burn and blow up and explode an average aircraft. And a cost factor is now, the cost factor was, I think, $1.35 or $2.35 per ignition. In other words, so to shoot down an aircraft with this laser, it would only cost about $2 and per elimination. And, of course, it does not, there's nothing involved with, you know, a pilot or a fighter plane or anything of that. It is a ground-based laser, and they're excited about them, utilizing them, the original testing on board ships, because they want to use them against any of the potential pirates that come in, like with boats, for example. They've had a couple of situations where the bad guys, terrorists or pilots or pirates, had gone in and rammed with explosives and actually blown holes in some of our ships and what have you. They were excited with this because it can be aimed, and with a heat designation, it will actually zero in on the engine, even if it's a outboard motor, and burn a hole through the engine in about 3 seconds and blow it up, blow the fuel tank up on the boat, even if it's just a small craft, and destroy the target. So these are just some of the really I consider to be extraordinary, interesting, newest move in terms of defense aircraft and what have you. And I guess the only other one that also is just quite recently now, within the last 60 days, that's been brought to the public's attention, and there is another aircraft that has been, that will be used, or let me put it this way, they're claiming that it will be used as a space plane, all right, to go out and beyond and utilized in outer space. The truth is it has already been used for that exact purpose and has been utilized in several outer space type of trips. And this, interestingly enough, the basic design on this new craft, and by the way, designed partially by Skunk Works and what have you, the basic design is taken from the Roswell flying saucer, one of them back in the old Roswell crash in the desert of 1947, and the exact basic concept of structure is what they're using for this new plane that one of them has just been delivered to NASA about a week or so ago, and there's another, there's been a couple of other ones out there for a while. These particular craft I'm talking about are put on the back presently, or let me put it this way. They're saying that they're put on the back of a 747, flown up to a very high elevation, and then released off of the piggyback ride, released into outer space from that point, and do whatever it's supposed to do, and then return similar to the shuttle, although being launched from the back of a large aircraft. And that's pretty neat. Again, it's one of the brand new items that just come across my face here in the last couple of weeks. I just thought people would be interested in it.
I think that the weapons that they have that can be used against us, and basically people don't understand they're designing these weapons not because there's a threat of terrorism. The whole war against terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill, certainly. But we know, for instance, with the Boston Marathon bombing, they've lied to us about it. How do we know that? Well, very simply, all you have to do is go up on the internet and type in Jeff Bauman pictures, and you'll see all these pictures of Jeff Bauman from when he was initially injured, laying on the ground with a well-healed lower, below-the-knee amputation on the left side, and simply then a piece of bone sticking out the end of it. You'll actually see in several pictures him laying there with a BK, below-the-knee amputation on the left side, and AK amputation on the right side. Then you see the pictures of him sitting in the wheelchair, certainly not screaming in pain, not in shock, a tourniquet on his left leg, but not on his right leg, and he has a left BK amputation. And then you see him 19 days later, sitting at certainly in a wheelchair at the Boston Bruins hockey game. And he's sitting in the wheelchair, waving a flag, a big smile on his face, with two above-knee amputations. Two above-knee amputations. How did that happen? I thought he had a below-knee amputation on the left side and above-knee amputation on the right side. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole thing was staged. He was a bilateral above-the-knee amputee, and they lied to us about it. Look at this yourself and understand it's all staged. He's wearing a prosthesis in this picture with the below-knee amputation. And basically, if they did that, then they knew what was going to happen. The rest of it was staged. We don't know what happened. But you can determine this on your own. Jeff Bauman, look at the video, look at the pictures. And if they would certainly stage the Boston Marathon bombing and where the boys were involved, I don't know. How many people were killed? I don't know. But I do know what I can see with my own eyes, and you can as well. When you realize this thing was set up, then, of course, what else is set up? And most of our reality is controlled. Go right ahead.
Well, additionally, it's interesting. All this is just fairly new, you know, within the last few months now. One of the older astronauts was on regular news the other day and talking about that how we were now moving forward very seriously with the potential of Mars. As being a, and also the back of the moon being a potential place for colonization, you know, to get some people up there that would stay for a long time and all of that. And again, I go back to realizing an old standard, and that is that if they're talking about something like this or a project or about ready to come off the drawing boards, that these things have already been done, and that many of the weapons have already been used 10, 15, sometimes 20 years, when they tell us that they're close to being moved forward, you know. And I was wondering, because I already have an awful lot of information that seems to imply that we have been on Mars and that we have been to the backside of the moon with colonization and putting some people up there for a long period of time. Now, we know, and they do on a regular basis, they're still doing little news promotional things. You know, and sometimes people forget, you know, we do have a large space station up there. Going around on a regular basis, we've got a handful of guys up there living all the time, and they periodically somebody goes up and swaps out with them. They, you know, bring a guy down and put a new fella up there and what have you. But something that they're, that we just never see anything about is this Robert Bigelow, the private enterprise, space developer named Robert Bigelow, that has actually taken over any of the flying saucer reports. Anything of flying craft at all goes through him, even though he is, in fact, a private contractor. But he also has a large space station, and my understanding is that it is today bigger than the one that we mutually put up, well, you know, ourselves with Russia, Japan, and England all theoretically joined hands to put the space station.
Bob, are you suggesting that the space station is actually up in orbit?
Oh, it is. It is. Absolutely, it's up in orbit. No, absolutely. Not a suggestion.
Now, is this, can we verify this?
Absolutely. If I say it, it can be verified one way or another.
How could our listeners verify
it? Easily.
That?
What you do is simply, as a matter of fact, what I wanted to get, let me move a little farther forward with this, but if you just look up Robert Bigelow Space Station and just look that up on the computer, you'll get more than you can even believe you could handle. You'll get everything. This photograph, all of it, everything. This guy has been up there. He's a multi-billionaire, but it's the two sides to this interesting situation. Number one is he's just got his own space program, period, which I know is, even though he's very wealthy, I know that it's being subsidized by taxpayers' dollars to bolster it up, although he may not even need it. He has an awful lot of money of his own. But he's been, and there's two things that he's been doing. One thing is the space station, which is up there, period. It is designed in a manner such that it's sent up, and by the way, he uses Russian, and the Russians, I think, and German, and some of the other rocket ships to put his stuff in orbit. He's just paying them, just contracting, puts his payload on the front of it, shoots them up there, and fastens these things together. What they are, like a huge tubular configuration, that it literally just docks, screws in, if you will, fastens up, bolts fast to what's already up there. And it's like a huge jigsaw, kind of like the kids' game we used to play with, or used to be able to build things and stuff. But it just, they all interface with each other. But the other side is that he has already designed, built, manufactured, the same kind of an encapsulated structure for living on Mars and in outer space on the moon.
I'd heard about that before. Go any further, sure. Can you get your web page out so people can get to that? Then we'll get back to this. Go ahead.
Mine is, of course, if you go on computer, if you just go on BobFletcherInvestigations.com, that'll connect you right up to my website. Right now we have eight of my most interesting investigations available on DVD for anybody that's interested. Hopefully you're familiar with this project I've had so many problems with. I finally got all of that ironed out, and so we're rapidly moving forward so I can finish. This project should have been done 7 months ago. Like I told your engineer a little bit earlier, I was chatting with him, and I told him I had gone through five computers. I have no idea what's been going on, but whatever. The bottom line is I will be finishing that one. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to rattle a lot of people's cages. And then there's two others that are also been on the drawing board. I'm going to try to get all three of them done as quick as I can.
But basically, you know, we can go up in the Internet and we can actually find the fact that Robert Bigelow actually has a space station up there today.
Yeah, it's a done deal. It's been up for a couple of years.
Really?
And again, see, my point about it is that other than seeing it on conspiracy theories, you know, a little bit, they did a little part on that a while back, a little study on him. You just don't hear about it. And it's amazing. I mean, his space station is gigantic compared to, very large compared to the one we have. You know. So anyhow, it's, and the other part of the point is, I guess, is that now if there's any reports, even if they come through the military or, an airline pilot runs into a UFO or anything of that sort, all of it goes through Robert Bigelow. He is the go-between for the United States government.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things going on that we just don't know about. And basically, fortunately, we have the Internet where you can check this out. Now, everything on the Internet isn't correct, but there's a lot of good information up there. You've got to learn who you can trust and who you can depend on. Our guest this evening, Bob Fletcher, fascinating source of information. We'll be right back. Bob, we got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, the I guess the big point is, and you know, I've always been doing this for so long, and I shouldn't be getting surprised at this point any longer. Not in terms of corruption that goes on out of Washington, or extraordinary things that are happening that we just don't know about. They are really keeping stuff from us. I mean, and you know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, they had this weapon they were working on, and so it's top secret for 5 years because they just couldn't allow certain people to know. And you know, unfortunately, you got to admit, well, okay, you know, that may be if they're legitimately doing this weapon and putting it together, you know, for national security and to genuinely protect us from some bad guys. But now what you and I, of course, have found out, and so many of our peers, that's not necessarily the case. And the secrecy is just mind-boggling. The volume, you want to look, somebody, if the listeners want to really entertain themselves, go on Google on the computer and look up, do a question and just write, how many items are classified secret in the U.S. government, and the number that will come up directly from the U.S. government themselves will blow you right off of your chair. It's mind-boggling. I don't even remember what it is, but it's this gigantic multi-millions of things that have been classified and kept secret. And if only 10% of them are what I would refer to as scurrilous activities that may not be in our best interest, if only 10% of them are in that category, it's an unbelievable number. It's very, very scary. And when they tell you they got a new exciting weapon around the corner, well, you can be sure they've already been using it and have destroyed a few thousand lives with it before they told you it was on the drawing board. And I guess that's about it. But look up Robert Bigelow Space Operations or Robert Bigelow Space Station, and you will be surprised. It's really interesting.
Well, I am going to. I'll certainly be doing that first thing in the morning. Our guest, of course, has been Steve Frank. Always, pardon me, our guest has been Bob Fletcher. Always certainly a pleasure to have you with us, Bob. Thank you very much for coming on this evening on short notice. We appreciate your being with us. And give us a lot of things to think about. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you, of course, enjoy our conversation with Bob Fletcher. Now, I've never heard about Robert Bigelow's space station. I've heard about Robert Bigelow and that he's been putting rockets up. I knew that. But we're going to certainly look into this, but I've found that through the years, Bob has been a very reliable source of information. And so we're going to certainly look into this as well. I hope you will as well. But so many of the things that we have, and certainly if you have any question about the Boston Marathon bombing, simply look up Jeff Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N, Jeff Bauman. And just simply say for pictures, and you'll see the picture of him. Pictures of him with the left side below the knee amputation. Pictures of him with a bilateral above the knee amputations. How could you do that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Look at all the pictures. Notice some of the pictures of him laying on the ground with a well-healed below-the-knee amputation on the left side, with a bone sticking out the end of it. Now, there are other pictures of him sitting in a chair with certainly a below-knee amputation, bone sticking out, and then you can see the muscle and other things, but you'll see other pictures where there is no muscle. So why is that? I mean, how can you have muscle and skin in one picture and it's not there in another? And then, of course, when you finally get all done, you find out that he has bilateral above-the-knee amputations. Look at the pictures, ladies and gentlemen, and then help us to get the information out across America. We've been lied to. I don't know what happened at Boston. I do know that we haven't been told the truth, and time alone is going to tell us what really happened. It's a tragedy under any circumstances. People are dying throughout the world every single day. Those of you who have any question about what happened on September 11th need to get our 4-CD set on 9/11. A 4-CD set on 9/11 update, our 4-CD set on why did the buildings come down. We'll hear my interview with Sergeant Leo Chavez, who was at CENTCOM headquarters on the morning of the attack, and then, of course, with the gentleman who was in charge of the cleanup of the debris of Building Number 7, and he tells us this is what he does all the time. He cleans up. And straightens up after buildings demolition. And he says 99% certain that was a controlled demolition. Building 7 was controlled demolition. If that was a controlled demolition, then so was the Twin Towers. Certainly there's no way you could put a major airliner through an 18-foot hole in the Pentagon and not leave any records, because I talked to April Gillespie, who came out through the hole in the Pentagon, and there was no records inside the Pentagon, and she was threatened. Her life was threatened by government agents. The same thing is true at Shanksville in Pennsylvania, where the plane, we heard the story, suddenly the hijackers had the plane. One of the men on board called his wife and said, "We may die, but we're going to take the hijackers down. Let's roll." And then the plane nosed down and crashed into the ground, left a big hole, and no wreckage. No wreckage at Shanksville. How could that be? Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. We need your help to get the truth out. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. If you're in a position to help us financially so we can continue getting the truth out across America, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Maybe you have something you'd like to advertise with us. Whatever you could do, certainly get our products. And certainly we have spice products and health products and Miracle 2 soap products. And that's certainly the Berkey Home water filters. If you don't have one, you ought to get a couple of them. You ought to have extra filters. But anything, of course, you need the health products, certainly. Because, of course, these are things that we take. And the things that everybody should be taking to preserve their health. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the old.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You're in the right place. It appears the pot is about to boil over. That's right. The average person can see it. Now, will the average person act upon it, or are they going to be in the state of shock that, oh, my country would do this to us? Or, well, see, it's because we just got one of them Democrats in office, and if we could just get a Republican in there, everything would be all right. Is anybody still believing that? Listening to television last night was laughable. Well, it's obviously a far-right tactic to get to the far left. Does anybody believe that anymore? I think Bubba on the couch is about to have an awakening. I really do. I think the taxpayers are saying, you did what? Absolutely. I am so pleased. Even John Stewart last night on the IRS issue said, you did what? And I'm so glad